Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Good to be with you here in this new year, and happy new year to everybody. And, you know, 2019, let's see what it has in store for us. It's getting off to an interesting start if you're watching the political scene. And what a circus we're going to have in Washington, D.C. with this new Democrat-led House of Representatives. Touch on a couple things there as well, but also want to talk about the importance of reading the Bible. I've been trying to get to this subject here, and so hopefully we'll get to that today as well. But let's go ahead and open our program with a word of prayer here this afternoon. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you so much again for the opportunity to be on the air today. Pray that you would bless the program. Use it for your glory. Help us to be a blessing to somebody. Help us to point people to Christ. Help us to encourage believers in their walk with you. And we look forward to the coming year. Help us to use it for your glory, for your purpose, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, good to be with you today. I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and we'll have more information about that at the end of the program, but certainly invite you to come out and visit us if you're looking for a place where you can learn the Bible. I'd like to invite you to come out and visit us. We're not a big church. We don't have a whole lot of programs and everything, but we have God's Word, and we make every effort we can to help people not only to know what they believe, but why they believe it. And that's something to touch on here, hopefully, Lord willing, today as well. But one thing I want to mention, too, you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And I've got a number of things on there, and I try to put a variety of articles and things up there, things that catch my attention, things that I'm working on, maybe researching for the radio program or researching for something that we're doing at church, or questions that people have asked me, and so I put a number of things up there. So I'll touch on some of those things on the radio, but not all the time, because I just don't have that much time on the radio. We have a half hour here on Friday afternoons every Friday from 1:30 until 2 o'clock, following, of course, Pastor Lutz's excellent program. If you haven't listened to that, let me encourage you to start listening here at 1 o'clock, where you can hear Pastor Lutz. Then we come on at 1:30. And then at 2 o'clock, Pastor Andy Rusnacko of the Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid comes on as well. And those are good programs. Just is going to mention, too, that we're also on Sunday nights. We have an hour on Sunday nights from 11 o'clock until midnight every Sunday night. That's our first program. That's the one we've been doing the longest, and we're thankful that God has made it possible for us to continue doing both of these programs, and we're hoping perhaps maybe in 2019 it might be possible to expand in some fashion with what we're doing. We'd like to be able to do that, but of course, you know, it's we're just waiting on the Lord, and as He provides the means to do so, we will follow His leading in that. Well, let me also remind you, too, we are a live program, and if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call today. The phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And you can call in if you got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We should be able to get to you today, this afternoon as well. And let's talk about our church. We do this. If you want to get into some of these things that we only touch upon on the radio, on our Friday night Bible study, we have a unique Bible study. It's not a pastor-led Bible study where I come in and say, now, tonight's topic is, or tonight's passage of the scripture is, What we do in our Friday night Bible study is really what led to the creation of our Sunday night radio program, and then our Friday afternoon radio program. Is the people who come to our Friday night Bible study, they bring questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word, and we look into the Bible together, and we take time looking at them, and we cover a variety of topics. Last Friday night, we got into a topic of time, and time in relation to God and relation to God's creation, and also how can God know the future if it hasn't happened yet? And so we discussed some things about God being outside of time. So we had a great discussion with that. And then sometimes we'll talk about somewhat simpler things, I guess, if you want to say that. And we've covered everything from where did Cain get his wife to did the flood really occur, and are people who never heard of Jesus lost, and all kinds of things. You know, so we just, if it's in the Bible, we like to talk about it. And so let me invite you to come out Friday night tonight at 7 o'clock. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Richfield Holiday Inn Express is located 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. That's northern Summit County, midway between Akron and Cleveland, right where Interstate 77 and the Ohio Turnpike cross. You can join us there in the conference room, and we'd love to have you come. It's informal. We have coffee, refreshments, things like that, and we just have the table set up around sort of in a where we can see everybody and just chime in and discuss and talk or listen, whatever you'd like to do. It runs from 7 till 9. Sometimes people can't stay the whole time. Sometimes we talk until after 10 after the Bible study. So we're in no hurry. So let me invite you to come out for that. And then, of course, on Sundays, we meet there at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express as well. Every Sunday, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, we meet there. And we have our morning Bible study at 10 o'clock. And we're just getting ready to start a new program, new topic or new study, looking at what God expects of me. And then on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, our morning service, I am currently preaching through the book of Philippians. And then on Sunday night, we are in the book of Zechariah. And so invite you to come out for that. If you don't have a church, or if you're looking for a church that preaches the gospel, maybe you're in, and preaches and teaches from the Word of God, maybe you're in a church that's departed from the Bible, we hold to the King James Version of the Bible. And let me encourage you to read that. That is still, despite all of the Bibles that are out there on the market, all of the versions and things of that nature, the King James is still the most read, the most sold, the most given, the most printed of all the English versions. And reasons for that, one of the reasons, of course, is that it is God's Word preserved in the English language. There are problems with the other translations. There's a program on Thursday afternoons at 2 o'clock, and that is Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. He covers that, and I help him out a little bit on occasion of that program as well. But there's reasons. King James Bible comes from what we call the received text, or the Textus Receptus, the majority text, the various terms that's given to it, and it goes back to the original Bible, books of the Bible that were given by God, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, the modern versions, one of the reasons we don't use those is because they're not based on the Textus Receptus. They're based on a polluted stream that comes out of Alexandria, Egypt, where it has a lot of changes and has been attacked and sliced up and diced up quite a bit by people who reject such cardinal Bible truths as Jesus is God manifest in the flesh, that he was born of a virgin, that he died on the cross and paid for our sins, that he rose from the dead, and many other. That's just a few. The King James Bible, coming from the Received Text, also we trace that back to the what we call the Antiochian stream of Bibles that came out of Antioch, Syria, where Paul went and he was first sent out with Barnabas and on his first missionary journey in the book of Acts chapter 13. Well, so that's one of the reasons we use the King James Version of the Bible. So I'm going to talk a little bit about a Bible reading plan there too, but also wanted to hit a couple high points here. In the news, we have, of course, the first day of Congress. We have some familiar faces. We have Nancy Pelosi, unfortunately, back, although this may prove to be a blessing in disguise. First day as Speaker of the House, and you know, give credit where credit is due. She was the first woman speaker, and she is the first speaker to return to take the mantle of being a speaker in some 50 years or so, 50-some years. And so how did she decide to start off her first day with the first day of the new congressional session? Why, she pushed for more tax-funded abortion. Isn't that nice? They inserted language repealing pro-life policies and expanding funding for organizations that promote or commit abortions in a bill that was put forward to ostensibly end the government shutdown. The Consolidated Appropriations Act of 2019 was going to end the requirement for foreign non-governmental organizations to guarantee that they will not perform or actively promote abortion as a method of family planning. It would also put a $5 million increase in the United Nations Population Fund, taking us from 32.5 million to 37.5 million. And they've promoted coercive abortion and sterilization and lend support to China's restrictive child policies as well. The current policy that they're targeting is targeted by a bill called Protecting Life and Global Health Assistance Policy, formerly known as the Mexico City Policy. That was instituted by President Ronald Reagan in 1984, and it's been reinstituted by every Republican presidency, including President Trump, who expanded this policy. This allows for non-governmental organizations to remain eligible for federal funding from the United States government only if they choose to stop committing abortions. And of course, Pelosi wants to roll that back, allocates a minimum of $595 million to family planning programs with no set limits, which essentially is giving money to Planned Parenthood and organizations like that. In fact, the Susan B. Anthony List, a very notorious pro-death organization, said it's only day one of the new Congress, but already Nancy Pelosi and the House Democrats are trying to foist a radical pro-abortion agenda on the nation. And I'm sorry, Susan B. Anthony List. I'm sorry, I said radical pro abortion thing there. But they were saying what's happening right now, immediately happening here on the first day. Well, let's see. Marjorie Dannenfelser. That's a name. Dannenfelser. Pro-life Susan B. Anthony List. I mistakenly labeled them as pro-abortion. Pro-life Susan B. Anthony List organization said in a statement Thursday, a strong majority of Americans oppose taxpayer funding of abortion, acting on a clearly expressed will. On the clearly expressed will of the American people, President Trump and his administration obtained a bold stand for life by stopping billions of dollars in foreign aid from being used to push abortion overseas. The House's spending bill would repeal this successful pro-life policy, making taxpayers complicit in the exportation of abortion and destruction of countless unborn children around the world. This is unconscionable, and we oppose the bill in strongest terms. 83%, according to some polls, said that 83% of Americans are against taxpayer funding of abortion. Well, this goes to show us that Nancy Pelosi and the House Democrats really do not care what the average American believes or what our priorities are. Just look at how she's adamant that there will be no wall ever as long as she's Speaker of the House. There's not going to be a wall. That's a thing of the past. That's what they used to do. And, you know, modern countries don't do that. And it's bad for morale. I forget what kind of drivel she was doling out on that. But this is an attempt to slip in all of this funding of abortion and open the floodgates for federal, your money, my money, to go to kill babies, not only more readily here in America, but around the world. That was one of their first things that they put forward. Well, in addition to that, of course, we have the other interesting thing that we had two more Islamic representatives sworn in. And it's interesting, at least one of them was sworn in on Thomas Jefferson's Quran. Now, we had the first Muslim congressman sworn in on that, I forget how many years ago, and now it just slips my mind what his name is. I had it on the tip of my tongue, but it's not really material at the moment. But he also was sworn in on Thomas Jefferson's Quran, and they think that this is just a wonderful thing, and it's the implication that Thomas Jefferson thought that Islam was a wonderful religion, you know, religion, an enlightened religion of peace, and that's why he had a Quran, so he could learn from get valuable spiritual insights from this wonderful book. No, that's not really the reason why Thomas Jefferson had a Quran. He was serving as the ambassador to France, and John Adams was serving as ambassador to Britain. They were in London to meet with Ambassador Abderrahman, the day of Tripoli's ambassador to Britain, and they met with him to negotiate a peace treaty. Remember the Barbary Coast, the Muslim nations along the northern coast of Africa in the Mediterranean there, and they were routinely capturing European and American ships. They would sell the cargo. They loot them, sell the cargo. They would take the people on the ships, Europeans, Americans, and they would sell them into slavery unless their respective governments did not send them a ransom to ransom these people back. If they were not ransomed, they were sold on the slave markets in Northern Africa and in the Middle East. And so who knows how many Europeans and Americans were sold as slaves in Africa and the Middle East during that time in the late 1700s, early 1800s. And so they were trying to stop this by negotiating a peace agreement, peace treaty with them. And this is what the representative of Tripoli said. They basically said they could have a temporary peace, a one-year guarantee, cost $66,000 plus 10% commission. Everlasting peace would be $160,000 plus an obligatory commission. That only applied to Tripoli. Other Muslim nations would also have to be paid. Amount came to $1.3 million. Now, this payment is what is called the jizya. It's a payment of non-Muslims to their Muslim masters so that they won't be killed or enslaved. And that's what this was. They were going to charge this payment. And this is all out of the Quran and out of the Hadiths and out of Islamic law. And Jefferson and Adams tried to argue that America was not at war with Tripoli, and they asked how had the Americans provoked the Muslims. And Ambassador Abderrahman explained the finer points of Islamic jihad, which basically was because we were not Muslims, that according to the Quran, the ambassador said that it was that their their right to capture American ships and enslave the people and steal the cargo was founded on the laws of their prophet, that it was written in their Quran, and that all nations who should not have acknowledged their authority were sinners. And this was a letter that Jefferson and Adams wrote to John Jay at the time, and that it was their right and their duty to make war upon them wherever they could be found, and to make slaves of all they could take as prisoners, and that every Muslim, meaning Muslim, should be who should be slain in battle was sure to go to paradise. And this is based on Surah 47:4, which says, "Therefore, when you meet the unbelievers, smite at their necks at length. When you have thoroughly subdued them, bind a bond firmly on them. Thereafter is time for either generosity or ransom, till the war lays down its burdens. Thus are you commanded. But if it had been Allah's will, he would have certainly exacted retribution from them himself, but he lets you fight in order to test you, and some with others. But those who are slain in the way of Allah, he will never let their deeds be lost." So the United States, Great Britain, and France paid tribute for protection, but when Jefferson became president, he then called for the development of the United States Navy as not a coastal fleet, which he had argued for before, but a fleet that could go around the world, project American power, and he sent the Navy and the Marines, and you know, there's a reason in the Marine anthem, from the halls of Montezuma, where? To the shores of Tripoli. And he went, and he wrote to Adams on July 11th, 1786. He said, "I acknowledge, I very early thought it would be best to effect a peace through the medium of war. Paying tribute will merely invite more demands. And even if a coalition proves workable, the only solution is a strong navy that can reach the pirates." That's what he called them. He said the states, meaning these Muslim states, must see the rod. Perhaps it must be felt by some one of them. Every national citizen must wish to see an effective instrument of coercion, and should fear to see it on any other element other element than water. A naval force can never endanger our liberties nor occasion bloodshed. A land force would do both. What he's talking about there is the founding fathers were reluctant to have, many of them were against the idea of a standing army for fear that the federal government would use that to enforce its will on the states. Remember, we're an association, a union of sovereign states. But he called for this navy so that we could go and defeat the Muslims of Tripoli and the other Barbary states, so that we can defeat them. And ultimately, 1805, the United States Marines crossed the desert from Egypt into Tripolitana and forced the surrender of Tripoli, freed many Americans there that had been kidnapped and made slaves. And then, of course, there's where the line from the halls of Montezuma, the shores of Tripoli, comes from. And that refers not only to the first Barbary War, but also to the Battle of Derna, which took place in 1805. And so it's ironic that Keith Ellison, that's the guy I was trying to think of before, as well as the Muslim lady that was sworn in to the Congress, took their oath on Jefferson's Quran, which has notes in there talking about learning to know what your enemy is so that you can defeat them. Well, they choose to ignore that in terms of revisionist history. Well, I see by the time I'm not going to get to the Bible reading plan today, and Lord willing, we'll get to that Sunday night, but you can find that at our website, livewithpastoral.com. I have an article there, My Bible Reading Plan, and let me encourage you here in this new year to resolve to commit to reading the Bible. Say, well, I don't know, I tried to read it all the way through last year, and I just got bogged down, and I just tried one of those reading schedules, and I got so far behind, I just gave up. Well, let me encourage you, and I said this on our Sunday night program, even if you just try to read a chapter a day, you know, that's better than nothing at all. Just try to read a little bit of the Bible each day this year. If you miss a day and you feel confident to do it, try to read double the next day. But if you don't worry about it. Don't get bogged down And let me encourage you to check out the article I have on our website, Live with Pastor Al, My Bible Reading Plan. Shows you how I came up with a Bible reading plan that works for me. And I'm not saying that it's the best plan and that it's necessarily the plan that works for you. Best plan that'll work for you is one that helps you consistently read your Bible on a daily basis. This is the guidebook, the instruction book. Somebody called it Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. This is what God gave us to help us, and it'll help you in the coming new year if you will commit to trying to read the Bible. All right, well, thanks for listening. Happy New Year, and join us next time. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.